Welcome to the latest edition of Auto Insider, where we're talking cars, car dealerships, and mostly crap about both. I don't know about you, but I think we're about ready to get started.
So it's another beautiful morning here in the Jersey Shore.
It wasn't yesterday.
No, yesterday was quite dreary, wasn't it?
It was rainy.
Yeah, it really, really was.
Yeah. It's almost flood-inducing.
Yes. You know what else could potentially be flood-inducing, Dan?
The hurricane that's about to hit here this week?
The hurricane, yes, but also, it also starts with an H. Hertz. Liquidating 183,000 units over the next couple, 4 months, 5 months?
Yeah. So if it's 45,000 units a month for the next 4 months? That's not flood-inducing.
No, it's really not.
That's not even impactful-inducing.
So, hopefully, we haven't lost you by now, but if you're still listening...
And we don't know why you would be after
really
this long-winded version.
Yeah. We really don't know why, but we're going to be talking about used car prices today and the thought that they've actually peaked. And so, if you're in the market for a used car, you've heard about Hertz. You've probably heard about this upcoming hurricane as well, unrelated.
Yeah.
You've probably also heard about the forbearance and the repos and used car prices have gone so high. We think they've actually maybe touched the summit, and they might be on their way back down.
Wow, I like that, the summit. Yes, we've got a report from the Sherpas that used car wholesale prices have reached the summit in the nick of time, before there were any additional deaths at the summit.
All right. No, but seriously. So my dad has many peers and friends that are still working retail in the automotive business.
And wholesale.
Yeah. And you've gotten a couple phone calls. You've talked to quite a few people. It seems like car sales are slowing down a little bit. This is anecdotal. We don't have any numbers yet or any hard data, but it seems like things are slowing down. And it seems like this ridiculous amount of spending on wholesale for used cars has really hit the peak. I mean, what were people spending, 102% or something you were telling me?
Well, last week when I got a call from my buddy who's a buyer for a rather large group in the D.C. metro area, dealers were paying upwards of 115% of Manheim Market Report.
Can you explain just how crazy that is?
That's a retail number, not a wholesale number.
What do you mean by that?
Well, I mean that typically dealers try to buy cars somewhere between 90 and 95% of their wholesale value based on the Manheim Market Reports. So if a car is selling at Manheim for $10,000, they're looking to buy it for somewhere around $900 to $9,500 and then get the car to their dealership, recondition it, and put it out for sale. And what they want to do is they want to have it at, usually they want to try and keep it around 100% of market value as a sale price.
So what maybe, were we seeing last week?
Yeah, so maybe, you know, that would be market value retail might be $11,000 or so.
Purchase at $9,000, $9,500 retail.
Yeah.
Got it.
Okay. And so dealers, if the car was worth $10,000 at the Manheim Market Report auction pricing, they were paying 115% of that, which would be about $11,500 for a car that normally would have been retailing for $11,000 to $11,500. So they now own a car for what the retail value was just a few weeks ago, and now they have to bring that to their dealership, recondition it, and put it out for sale. So that car that was retailing 3 weeks ago for $11,500 now might have to retail for $13,500 or $14,000. As my buddy was telling me, he says, that's not very sustainable. For a multitude of reasons. One of the reasons would be that banks aren't going to lend that kind of money because, well, the cars aren't worth that kind of money.
Yeah. So if you're listening to this, you know, on August 2nd when it dropped, we're talking about the last couple weeks of July here, and some of these phone calls that you've been receiving, Dad, were coming in just in the past few days. And so we had this ridiculous and incredibly volatile upswing in price. And now we think, and some of the indicators that are leading us to think that we've hit kind of the peak on wholesale prices are that a lot of financial institutions will no longer support actually purchasing and financing these wholesale
the amounts prices, of money that would be needed for a retail buyer to buy.
Would you really think about that for a second? I mean, that is insane that the bank won't even lend against that because
But they just won't lend at the numbers that they would have in the past. So they might still lend against it based on that it should have a wholesale value of $11,000 or $10,000. And so they might be willing to finance $10,000. But if the dealer's retailing it for $13,500 or $14,000, well, that means in order to get it financed, somebody's going to have to come up with $3,500 to $4,000 or more cash down in order for the bank to say, okay, we'll finance the rest.
And I guess this leads me to one question, Dad, is how often does, it's Black Book, right? They're the ones that do the used car prices, or is it
Blue could be Book? Black Book, it could be NADA.
NADA?
Yeah.
How often are they updating their...
monthly?
Monthly.
Yeah. Yeah. So... if wholesale prices go crazy for a month and it's the end of the month and the banks are still using the Black Book or the NADA book that was published, I don't know, for the beginning of the month, guess what's not keeping pace with the increase in wholesale values?
And that's what's been really interesting about what's going on in the market, both up and down, ever since the global pandemic really took hold, which was we saw prices decrease very rapidly. I mean, there was a period of time, and I remember this intimately because I was thinking about selling my Volvo S90.
Which you should still sell now if you ever want to get, I don't know, as hurt as little as possible. Now would be the time.
But I remember I went to the local Volvo dealership on a Monday.
Yeah.
And I got a quote on it right as all this was happening, the coronavirus pandemic. And the quote that they gave me was good for a week. And I show back
or up, you thought.
And I show back up on Friday, ready to sell my car to them. And the used car manager says, yeah, I just got out of a meeting and ownership told me I can't buy cars. So we went from, and that was 4 months ago, 3 months ago.
That was in March or April.
Yeah, and we're recording this, in the beginning of August. So not that long ago. We went from dealers weren't even looking to buy inventory. Although the savvy ones, in retrospect, were buying inventory.
They were buying the inventory at depressed values.
We went from that to 115% of Manheim market value, which is insane.
Yes.
All in the span of a few months. So these traditional practices for valuing and then coming up with financing options, they couldn't keep up. They're not designed for this much of a rapid change.
No, not at all. And we've gotten plenty of comments on our YouTube channel from our viewers who have given us examples of cars that they bought 8 or 9 months ago, and the dealer is willing to give them $2,000 more than what they paid for it because they're desperate for inventory, or at least they were. And according to some of the sources I have on the ground, the last week of July was not a stellar week for floor traffic, for sales, for just the quality of the customers that were coming in to buy cars.
Yeah.
It's starting to, as I like to say, I think the economic realities of what's going on in the country right now are finally starting to catch up with people. And people are finally starting to realize that, you know, this isn't going away anytime soon. So maybe we really do need to plan for the future where this is going to continue for, who knows, another 6, 8, 10, 12 months, whatever it may be. And without government stimulus money, which ran out, nobody really knows what the future is. And maybe they're starting to say, might be time to hold on to some of my cash.
Yeah, so I think we saw this huge swing from depressed prices to really overvalued used car prices very quickly. And it wouldn't be too surprising to me, and I wonder if you feel the same, to see it swing back in the other direction to being relatively inexpensive on the used car side, wholesale and retail.
Well, I think wholesale will drop much more so than retail will.
And we saw that on the rise up as well. Yes, we saw wholesale prices change like 10 basis points, 10%.
10% in 1 month.
And then retail only maybe moved 3 or 4.
Yes. And then now suddenly wholesale prices have skyrocketed. Retail prices have skyrocketed.
But retail always trails wholesale, so yes. I hear what you're saying.
Yeah, but and now I would suspect that we'll see wholesale prices go down, but we'll see retail trailing that by quite a bit of time. Well, because they've already proven, in many cases, because so many dealers were coming off record months in May and June, that they probably have themselves convinced that they can keep these ridiculous prices going a while longer.
Well, think about it for a second. If you're a dealer,
yes,
and you used to be.
Well, no, I was never the dealer, but I've worked at a number of dealerships.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. We wouldn't be on a bayfront condo. We'd be in an oceanfront condo had I been a dealer.
That's a good point.
Yeah.
Hey, Zach here, one half of Your Auto Insider. We really hope you're enjoying today's episode. If you're ever interested, you can always get more insight into what Ray and I are doing at yourautoadvocate.com. We've got a platform that we've built that'll help you navigate the car buying process, negotiate the best deal possible, and feel more confident while you're doing it. All right, let's get back to the episode. That's a really good point. Yeah. That watch on your wrist would be different, too.
It would be real.
Yeah, fair enough. The point I was going to make is that if you're that dealership and you purchased a vehicle for 115% of MMR, Manheim Market Report.
Yeah.
Okay, you've got maybe a 90-day turn policy or a 60-day turn policy. You're not going to, immediately discount that down just because the market's turned. You're going to try your hardest to sell it for an inflated price still because, well, why not?
I bought it for a lot. I think what's really going to happen is if the market reports for next week show even a slight decline in wholesale values.
Which they have to, right?
I'm pretty sure they will. It might be a tad more than a slight decline.
Yeah.
So I think what's going to happen is that... there'll be a lot of dealers, pooping in their pants a little bit because...
Is that the professional term?
The professional term would be there's a lot of dealership owners who will be pooping in their pants because they realize that they're suddenly sitting on, it could be $500,000, $1 million, $1.5 million worth of overpriced inventory that they're going to have to get out of.
Okay, and let's actually harp on this for just a moment, because my dad and I, week in, week out, we're working on this concept called Deal School. And if you want to learn more about Deal School, go to yourautoadvocate.com. And in Deal School, we have this whole section. We walk you through the whole process of selecting a car, negotiating a car, what you need to do before you take delivery, what do I do on the test drive, etc. And we talk about financing and floor planning from the dealership perspective.
Yes.
So I want you to touch on this for a moment, Dad. If I'm a dealership and I overextended myself and I was buying a lot of used cars that were very, very expensive, I didn't pay cash for them. I financed them.
Mm-hmm.
And so what's going to happen here over the next 60, 90 days if your hypothesis that as government stimulus has run out, less people are going to be actually buying those cars? If you've been waiting to buy a used car, it almost sounds like to me, correct me if I'm wrong here, 60 to 90 days from now, when the interest payments that those dealers are making on holding that inventory have added up considerably, you've got some good leverage. They're going to want to and need to, quite frankly, move those units, right?
They will be more interested in figuring out a way to retail the car to minimize their loss rather than, say, wholesale the car at the auction to maximize their loss, because the larger loss will occur on the auction block than it would if they can find somebody to pay a little bit more than what they could get for a car on the auction block. So, yes, these dealers are going to be proud owners of underwater inventory. Okay, their inventory is all going to be overpriced and underwater, and they're going to need to figure out ways to liquidate it. And trust me, they're going to want to figure out ways to retail it
rather than wholesale it. And I think probably one of the biggest culprits of overextending themselves, and this is a hunch here, Carvana and Shift. or Vroom, whatever, like the, all these new e-commerce used car platforms.
Yes.
So that like are either going public or have been public, have a ton of money in the bank. And I think it didn't. I think your some of your colleagues may have mentioned like Carvana was paying and a ridiculous amount to buy vehicles. I mean, just like we could.
So is CarMax.
And CarMax, yeah.
Yeah.
And I think I don't want to direct quote anyone, but it's like people, your contacts have said we can't compete, and there's no point in competing because these prices are just ridiculous.
Yeah.
So CarMax, Carvana are going to be holding on to ridiculously expensive inventory. So it's not only your traditional, you know, franchise dealership or your mom and pop lot. Those big players as well are probably going to be overextended, but they have the financing to, you know, essentially weather that storm.
Well, they, except for CarMax, the others seem to weather their quarterly losses rather well because people buying stocks overvalue.
That's our other podcast.
Okay, I'll never talk about stocks again. I'll never. The only type of stock I'll ever talk about again is inventory.
Inventory.
That stock. Type of stock.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I guess that final question I have here around used car prices,
yes,
if they've hit their peak, would be the implications that it has on like the market at large. We've talked in some of our other YouTube videos about new car supply as well.
Mm-hmm.
So do we see any other factors that are going to influence the used car market moving forward? I guess what I'm alluding to is, will new car supply, and as 2021 start rolling out, will that affect used car prices at all?
Absolutely.
Or am I stretching?
No, absolutely. Okay. It will, because as new car dealerships build their new car inventory back up, because manufacturers are starting to be able to produce cars closer to 100% of capacity at their manufacturing facilities. As those cars roll in and new car inventories increase, well, then there's less pressure to be selling used cars. The reason new car dealers were selling as many used cars as they were is they were out of new car inventory. And, well, go figure, salespeople sell what they have, not what they don't, because you don't get paid a commission on, well, not selling something. So you figure out ways to convince people to buy what you have. And if what you have is used cars, that's what you convince them to buy. As new
spoken like a true car guy, convince them to buy.
It is what it is.
I love it.
Yeah. You know, you're not selling, when you're a car salesman, you're not selling futures. You're selling present. Okay.
You know, futures are on the stock market.
I know they are.
I'm just testing you.
No. I know they are. And there's puts and other things. And
yeah.
And if you don't play it right, you could be a putz and not a putz. And it's all different kinds of things. But my point is that as new car inventories rise, there's less desirability for the used cars, which will push down the used car values, both on the wholesale and the retail side, because people's first choice when they go to a new car dealership is to buy a new car, not a used car. So as those inventories rise and the pressures build, you'll see wholesale prices and retail prices of used cars going down. So that'll have a major impact. And then when you extrapolate in the fact that, well, so much of that used car inventory is overvalued to begin with, you know, that flood you were talking about will be more like an avalanche.
Well, we have covered a wide spectrum of national...
Yes. You know what the good news is?
Huh?
The Weather Channel's looking for us next.
If you're listening to this and you're at the Weather Channel, email me.
We're available.
info@yourautoadvocate.com.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, we could be the high and low brothers.
You could have puts, I could have calls.
Yeah, I believe there could be a Bermuda high making its way in.
I have no clue what we're even talking about at this
point. Doesn't matter.
It
sounds meteorological.
You know, when I was in college, I took a course on natural disasters.
Yes.
That's what this is reminding me of. Like, this show is literally a natural disaster, but also we spoke about a few natural disasters.
Yes, exactly. Superstorm Sandy's on her way.
Oh man. All right, so let's tie this with a bow with this. Used car prices, we think, have hit a peak.
Yes.
New car supply is going to increase. We put out a YouTube video recently talking about the expected time that we think you should be looking to buy a car. December. October, yes. November, December, and especially December.
Fourth quarter. Yeah.
But especially December, because that's when we have the year-end, you know, factory.
If you're looking for new.
So I guess the takeaway, if you've made it to this point in the podcast.
We don't know why you would have.
Still completely unsure why you would. But the takeaway is continue to be patient and pragmatic.
Yes.
You know, if you are in the market to buy a car, like my dad always says, don't need to buy it. Because when you need to buy it, that's not when you're going to get the best deal. And continue to wait. And I think we're about to see this pivot and this shift over the coming weeks. And we'll be reporting and updating weekly here on the podcast, daily back over on YouTube. And if you want, you know, insights and expert advice and things like that, yourautoadvocate.com is where you can find that.
Absolutely. Brought to you by Zach and Ray.
High and low.
Yes. I'm not sure who's high or who's low, but I think we both might have been a little high last night. We drank too much sangria.
Thanks for your time, Ben.
Thank you, Zach.